Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. But if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 4. This chapter has four divisions in it. And I'll preach each of the different divisions. I want to take the first one today, and then we'll pick up the others later on. And if God helps me, I'll do a little bit different from what I normally do, and hopefully you'll be happy about it. But let's go ahead and read the text, and then we'll pray. 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take him, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, and shut the door upon her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children on or of the rest." Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. We have something that we can turn to, Lord, for instruction and for comfort. We can know what to do in any given circumstance by turning to the word. The word of God, not the word of man, not the word of a committee or a denomination or of some false religion, but the word of God.
Yes.
Thank you that we have a sure word from heaven. Praise you that we have a sure word from heaven. Help me to preach it, and Lord, anoint the ears of the listeners that they would understand and be quickened in their ears and in their hearts and be of a mind to serve the Lord in a greater way. In Jesus' name, amen. I guess the title of my message could be several, but let's go with Borrow Not a Few. You know, my manner generally is to teach. I feel like I'm stuck in a rut. It's good to teach the Word of God, make no question about it, no mistake. It's good to teach the Word of God. But in so many years on the radio, I seem to have gotten stuck in a rut. And I pray, and I'm sure the bishop prays, that I can get out of that rut. Certainly, I love to teach the Word of God. I know He doesn't want me to quit. But let's see if we can jump out of this rut today.
Praise God.
Very quickly, to teach the portion, oil in the Word of God is generally looked at as a symbol of the Holy Spirit. There are seven symbols in the Word of God that typify the Holy Spirit or symbolize the Holy Spirit. I could go through a few of them, I suppose. At one point, I hope to do so. But one of them, let's just say that one of them is oil. And in this message, and I've taught it before elsewhere, it talks about winning lost souls. The oil poured in the vessels. We're earthen vessels. We should empty ourselves of things that are not right and ask God to fill us. And believe God to fill us. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says that we should be witnesses unto the Lord to the uttermost parts of the earth. It mentions going abroad here. It mentions many vessels. It mentions the pouring out of the Spirit. But then at the end it says that we don't have any more vessels. Nothing to pour more oil into. It was a miracle that the one little pot of oil filled 10, 20, 50, 100, however many bowls or pots she had. I don't know what she had. The count isn't given. But it says that she went and did what the prophet said. Let's get some vessels. And in the secret place, you see, there's the public face of the church and of the gospel, but inward, there's an inward work. There's an inward work that we most definitely need to partake of the inward work. We should ask God to fill our empty vessels. I'm Pentecostal, don't want to apologize for it. I love to sing and shout. I love the songs that we sing. I enjoy the praises of God. I enjoy being in that kind of environment. But Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says that this whole thing is about winning lost souls. I'm glad for the different services that we have. I'm glad for the Pentecostal heritage that we have. But when all is said and done, there are lost souls outside these walls that must be won to the Lord. Because if they're not won, they perish. If we don't go win them, the Baptist church down the road will get them. No, it's absolutely not about that. Has nothing to do with denominationalism. Has nothing to do with filling the walls of this church or this denomination. It's about filling the halls of heaven.
That's it.
We need to seek and save that which is lost and bring them to heaven. The angels, they don't care if we sang a certain song or if Sister So-and-so got a breakthrough at the altar. They don't care about any of that. They don't care how many we had in Sunday school. The angels just don't care. They're bored with that. But it says they sing and shout when one sinner comes to the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
I could take you through the Word of God. I've let one that's in my head now. When Jonah went to Nineveh, when he finally got there, he preached. He preached the message they didn't want to hear. Maybe it made him happy, but he preached 40 days and the city will be overthrown. If I did that on the radio, they'd throw me off in 40 minutes. Nobody wants to hear that message. But he preached it. And the funny thing is, the Spirit of God touched their hearts and they believed it.
Yes, yes.
They believed it. Maybe God knew that there was another army. Maybe the Egyptians were going to come and take over. I don't know. Maybe somebody from India would come and take over. I have no idea. But God said through the mouth of the prophet, 40 days and you shall be overthrown. But they repented.
Amen.
From the king to the guy shoveling for the donkeys.
Yes,
they all
right.
repented. From the top to the bottom, they all repented. And believed God and sat in sackcloth and ashes. And God saw and God accepted their repentance. And God had mercy upon them. And the judgment, it didn't come. Borrow vessels, not a few. They poured out as many as they could find. But when there wasn't any more vessel, that oil stayed. It didn't pour out anymore. Again, it's a miraculous thing. You've got one pot and you fill 50. That oil flowed miraculously. The Holy Spirit will flow miraculously as we open up to the Lord, as we humble ourselves before the Lord, and as we get our mind on the Lord and not pleasing the deacons or the Sunday school board or whatever, but Lord, we want to see lost souls.
Yes,
we don't care
right.
if they come to our church or the one down the road. We want to see lost souls.
Amen.
We don't want people to go to hell. We want to see lost souls come into the kingdom. We don't want to see people on drugs. We want to see them delivered. We want to see people instead of all sorts of things I could name. We want to see them living for God. And their troubles, we want you to take care of them. Their failings, we want you to lift them up. Their addictions, Lord, we want you to break their addictions. And I believe that Jesus Christ brings deliverance. I believe that Jesus Christ can deliver the drug addict. I know that Jesus Christ can pick somebody up, raise them up out of the hospital bed. I know that the Lord, if we'll look to Him and trust in Him, can do all things.
Amen.
And we, if we'll do Acts 1:8, we can do all things through Christ which strengthens
us. That's right.
Jesus certainly is the one that saves the soul. He's the one that, you name it, whatever problem you have, if a miracle is done, He's the one that performs it. But He uses us. He's the head, but we're the body that gets in the car and drives over there and gets out and walks to Him and says, hey, let me tell you about the Lord.
Amen.
We're the body. We're His hands, His feet, etc. As the perhaps psalm or hymn says, we're His hands extended. We need to be about the work of the gospel. We need to be about the Father's business. We need to believe God to win lost souls.
Yes.
But this oil. You say, well, brother, I'm a denominationalist. I don't believe that. Well, I don't care. I want what the Bible says. If you think you can convince somebody to be saved by presenting a logical argument or twisting their arm or putting a guilt trip on them or whatever, it's not going to work. You may get somebody to sit in the pew, but they probably won't be saved.
Yeah.
They probably will not be converted. We need to trust in the power of God. Well, listen to that Pentecostal preacher who's on it again. Well, let me tell you something. The Word of God says that it's the Spirit of God that convicts in the heart.
That's it.
It's the Spirit of God that touches the heart. I can't get into somebody's heart. I don't know what's in somebody's head, much less their heart.
That's right.
But it's the Spirit of God that gets in the person's heart.
Praise God. Praise
and
God.
Touches the heart and moves upon the heart and knows the heart inside and out. He says in the Word of God that He knows us through and through. He knows and tries the reins of our heart. He knows what to say. He knows what to bring to remembrance. He knows the heart. And as a Pentecostal preacher, that's what I want. I want God to move upon the heart. I believe in divine healing. I believe in deliverance. I want to see more of it. But the thing that matters most to me is that God would touch the heart. And again, it's this pouring out of this oil, the Holy Spirit. I said a bit ago that when she finished pouring out, she said, hey, kid, give me another vessel. Well, there wasn't any more. And the oil stopped. That says two things to me. We can go so far, but no further, perhaps. Well, we're willing to do this and we're willing to do that, but we, you know, we're afraid or have reasons why we don't want to go further on. We can stop the pouring out of the Spirit by quenching the Spirit or by being afraid or something. I'm reminded of a passage I've preached on many times. Preached on it here, preached it on the radio. Ezekiel chapter 47 about that great river coming out of God's throne. It started at the south side of the altar. In other words, the Holy Spirit, He's God, I understand, but He comes to us on earth, comes to us in the church because of the altar,
Amen.
The brazen altar. The Holy Spirit's presence in our lives comes because Jesus Christ were sacrificed
right.
on the cross of Calvary. You can look in the Old Testament. We understand the types and the prophecies and symbols and what have you. But from the Old Testament and the New, we understand that the Holy Spirit, as wonderful the things that He does, as wonderful as they are, He always works through Calvary. He always works through the preaching of the gospel. In the New Testament, we understand the gospel plainly. In the Old Testament, there were symbols and prophecies and types and shadows and whatnot. But from beginning to end, Genesis to Revelation. In Genesis, the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. And in Revelation, the Spirit and the bride say, come.
Amen.
And all through all the books in between, it says the Spirit of God is there working. But He works through the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Through the message of Jesus Christ.
Yes, yes.
In that chapter, chapter 47 of Ezekiel, the prophet went out 1,000 cubits, half, a quarter mile or something, and it was to the ankles. He went another quarter. It was to the knees. He went another quarter mile, and it was chest high, I guess, or to his loins or something. But he went out that last quarter mile, 4,000 cubits or whatever it was over his head. There's a progression. There's a progression. The further you go with God, the closer He will become to you. If you draw nigh to God, He said, I'll draw nigh unto you. And you decide how far into this river, symbolic of the Holy Spirit, that you'll go. You decide if you want to stop it while I pray a little bit or what have you. You decide. Well, you should decide, Lord, everything you have for me, I want.
Amen. Yeah.
It's not just I went on Sunday and I might go on Wednesday, but well, they caught me on Thursday morning. I was on my knees in prayer. Hallelujah. It's up to you as to how far you will go with God. So bring me yet a vessel. There's not another one in the all state. That's on you. Well, I'll stop smoking, but I'm not going to stop watching those movies or whatever. That's up to you. You decide. But I believe also that there is not another vessel and the oil state. I believe that that speaks of something else. Continually, the Lord would refer to this in His teaching. And I believe the Old Testament shows it and the epistles would have you show it. There is always the reminder that one day the outpouring of the Spirit will stop. In other words, one day, the preaching of the gospel will stop. Now, I understand during the tribulation that there are going to be people saved, and I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking of the fact that one day the tribulation will occur. It's time now to get into the ark of safety. The prophet preached 100 years, Noah. And he was building that ark. There was long suffering in there. Maybe he just wasn't a very good carpenter. Maybe he had to learn from trial and error. I don't know. Maybe it was just so big and just the 8 of them, it took a long time to build. I don't know. But it took 100 years for that ark to be finished. But one day it was finished. And God miraculously had the animals 2 by 2. Except the clean animals. There were 7 of each. Because when the flood waters went down, the ark rested, they opened the door. The first thing that Noah did was he built an altar. And he sacrificed 5 of those clean beasts as an altar to God.
Yes.
As an offering to God, should I say.
Amen.
Again, it's about Jesus Christ and His sacrificial atoning death on Calvary. From Genesis to Revelation, it's about Jesus Christ and the cross that He suffered on. But like I said, at the end of the 100 years, the ark miraculously was finished and filled with animals by the power of God. Then the door was shut. 7 more days passed and it began to rain. The door was shut, it says. 100 years they mocked Noah. Uh-huh. Oh, look at them crazy Christians. They go into camp meeting again.
Yeah.
But one day the door was shut. And that's it. When the door of the ark is shut, you can't get in. One day Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth. There's a series of events that will happen leading up to that, and some events that will happen after that. But one day the church will be gone. The rapture will occur. The tribulation will begin. 7 years after that, we understand that Jesus Christ will return in Revelation chapter 19 on a white horse. And we'll follow him on white horses. But you see, one day the door of that ark will be shut. The church will be gone. The preachers will be gone. You might come to church, but you and a couple of folks that didn't make it will be the only ones sitting there on Sunday morning, sitting there in Sunday school saying, well, where's the teacher? Well, where's the deacons? We're all going to be gone. I don't like this preacher. I'm going to go to listen to somebody else. Well, do that. That's fine. But the gospel's true. And you need to be in the ark of safety. You need to be in the ark of safety. Because once we stop preaching, how will they hear without a preacher? When we're gone, tough luck. But we should work while it's day, yes. Jesus said. We should preach the gospel while it's day. Hold our services, hold our revivals, our camp meetings, do the missions trips while it's day.
Amen.
Because Jesus plainly said, night cometh, and when night cometh, no man can work. You should be in the ark of safety before it's shut. You should have your vessel ready to be filled before it's all over. Put your trust in him today. Heavenly Father, thank you for the message. Thank you for laying this upon my heart. And thank you for helping me to preach it. But forget all that. Lord, I want you to speak to souls. I want you to touch hearts. I'm sure that all of us here are Christians. That's fine. Well, certainly encourage us to be more mindful of lost souls and help us to want to do the Father's business. And those that might be listening that are not saved, well, today's your day. This is your altar call. After my voice goes away, you need to do some praying and business with God. Trust in him. Repent of your sins. Ask him to help you, and he will do so. Heavenly Father, do those things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God.
Hallelujah.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today,
and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.